to come on up. Come on up, host team. Thanks for serving and for being here. Just want to again welcome all of you and let you know we're really glad that you're here this morning. A couple of additional announcements I want to make from the bulletin. You guys doing okay out there? Everybody all right out there? Okay, excellent. Hey, two things that you might want to take note of from the bulletin. Number one, we are looking for some volunteers for our preschool department. Now, we have adorable children in our preschool department. How many of you guys have adorable children? Let's just see some hands on that. Okay, I actually have three of them myself. We adorable children need help in the preschool nursery area. You can look at that. We're actually looking for you to serve for one quarter, once a month, for one quarter. You can sign up on that little sheet. We need 120 volunteers, and we could fill it in this service right now if you guys want to do it. Second of all, you might have seen this intro here for the fall kickoff and burrito bash. Let me explain this to you. Saturday night, September 7th, after the service, we're inviting everyone to come for our fall kickoff, and we're going to have Chipotle burritos for free for you. No kidding. How many of you guys like burritos? Any burrito fans out there? Absolutely. So come that night. There'll be a ministry fair after the service, all three services that weekend. But we're inviting you, especially if you're new to our church, come and there'll be a little orientation for those who are new to our church. So we're in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read the white. You guys read the yellow. 9 o'clock is notoriously a great reading service. So you've got a big reputation to uphold here. I'm going to read the white. You read the yellow. Here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, nor any power, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it's really important to understand that love and that love cannot be separated. This week I was walking, we began school this week for Granville Christian Academy. Lots of county schools began school this week. And so on the first day of school, I was walking down the middle hallway just over there, and I came across the kindergarten class. And the kindergarten class were all lined up. They're just adorable as could possibly be. And one of our kindergarten teachers, Lydia Lachelet, she was right there, Pastor Gary's daughter. And they came out, one little boy came out of the bathroom, and Lydia got down on her knee, and she's looking at him face to face. And she said his name, and she kind of had a finger up, and she said, "Now, were you following the rules in the bathroom?" And his eyes got really big, and he nodded, "Yes." And she said, "That's not what I heard. I heard you were crawling under the stalls." We do not endorse this at Granville Christian Academy, just to let you know. And then he looked back at her, and she said, now she's down on his level, and she's talking really gently, and she said, "Now listen, you can't be doing that." And he had these big tears well up in his eyes, and he launched himself like a loving missile and pulled his arms around his teacher's neck and just held on to her because he couldn't bear that separation from the love. And like a great teacher, she loved him and said his name and said, "It's going to be okay. Just don't do it again." And she gave him that love. He wanted to know that nothing could separate him from the love of his teacher. Do you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God? For those of us who are in Christ, who are Christians, let's just examine the idea. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen, in chapter 8, near the end, Paul asks five questions. He asks five questions. This is the fifth and last question. He asks questions like this. If God is for us, who can be against us? These five questions are rhetorical questions. But here Paul actually answers this fifth question. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he lists these things. Number one, he says trouble. Of this list of things Paul gives us, trouble is the easiest one to understand. It's the easiest one to have in your life. Trouble. Now, this week I was actually getting gas, and I had a little example of someone having trouble. There was two guys working, and one of them was opening a manhole, and he had a cell phone in his pocket with his little vest on, and his cell phone in the pocket, and he reached over, and he had some tool, and he opened the manhole, and as he leaned over at just the right ankle, and just when the manhole came open, his cell phone fell down the manhole. I witnessed it and took a picture. And he didn't say anything. He just said, "Whoa." That was the expression. That's trouble. How many guys had trouble ever in your life, ever before? Yeah. Who's got some trouble right now? No, don't raise your hand about that. He says trouble. Trouble's not going to separate us from the love of Christ. And then he bumps it up a notch. How about this one? How about hardship? Examples of hardship would be job loss, losing your job unexpectedly. That's trouble. The unexpected death of a loved one. It's hardship. You had that hardship in your life. A devastating diagnosis is hardship. It might come on you suddenly, unexpectedly. How many guys have experienced some hardship in your life? Anybody out there experienced that? Absolutely. When you're experiencing hardship, you're not separated from the love of Christ. And then he says persecution. Persecution is something Christians have faced from the very first days as Christians all the way up until today. Do you guys know that more Christians are persecuted today than ever in the history of the world? One example of persecution, this is a picture of a mosque in Egypt. This is a Coptic Christian mosque. And this mosque is beautiful. It's been known for a long time as a beautiful mosque. But last week it was burned by Muslim extremists, Islamists, who want to bring Muslim rule to Egypt. And they burned this mosque along with 40 other churches. And then last Sunday, for the first time in 1,600 years, they could not have services in their sanctuary. The first time in 1,600 years. They're facing persecution. Paul says when you're facing persecution, you're not separated from the love of Christ. Even though you're persecuted, you still know God's love. And then he says this, famine. Famines have occurred on every continent and every people group around the world. Famines affect everyone. One reason why we're so excited about Bobby, who was here leading worship, Bobby's going to Africa at the end of September, and we're so excited that Bobby's going to work with local pastors to drill wells in Africa to affect the famine situation that's happening. But in the midst of a famine, even in that famine state, you're not separated from the love of Christ. Nakedness. I have no picture for this one, my friends. But here's the idea. You don't have enough money to have clothes, or because of persecution, your clothes have been taken away. And in that nakedness that you have, even in that state of having no resources for clothing, the love of Christ is not separated from you. Danger, here's what the Greek word means, constant exposure to sudden death. Maybe think back to when you're driving on a snowy night and you're driving on those harsh Ohio roads in the middle of winter, and you just know at any moment I could go in the ditch, at any moment I can get an accident. That's the idea of danger, constant exposure to sudden death. And the last one Paul mentions is the sword. It's the idea that even if you're in a war zone, even if you're a soldier, even if you're fighting, even if you're in armed conflict, you cannot be separated from the love of Christ. In 1982, when I was 10 years old, my parents moved to the Philippines as missionaries. I was a little 10-year-old guy and went to the Philippines. And when we lived in the Philippines, there was an active insurgency group working in the mountains, a communist group trying to take down the government. And so we'd be driving in the mountains, my dad and I, my family, and we'd sometimes encounter the Philippine army. We'd sometimes encounter this rebel group that was trying to take over the country. The Philippine army wore uniforms. The other army, called the NPA, the National People's Army, here's a picture of them right here. They would wear blue jeans, but they all had machine guns. And so my dad and I, think about this. At 10 years old, my dad and I had a signal for what I would do if someone was shooting at our car. Here was the detailed plan. My dad would give the signal. I would get down on the floorboard of the front seat of the car and get down as small as possible. He would put his head down and drive as quickly as he could. Here was the code word that my dad would use. Get down! That was the special code word that we had worked out. I recall one time we were in the mountains driving down, just my dad and I. We're in a Jeep, and we're driving down, and we're coming to a checkpoint. And we knew that at the checkpoint, they could rob us or kidnap us or who knows what. And we saw that it wasn't the Philippine army. And so my dad slowed the truck down. The guy put his hand up to stop us. There's armed men with machine guns right there. It was an awesome childhood, let me tell you. We slowed down the car, and the guy stopped my dad. My dad came almost to a stop. And he said, good morning, and hit the gas and kept going. They started yelling at us. They started shooting bullets. My dad said, get down. The special signal was used. I jumped down to the floor, huddling, praying. It was a great Sunday morning, let me tell you. You know what? That experience, we never said, oh, God doesn't love us. We're experiencing this difficulty. Oh, God can't love us. And you know what? We were not in any way separated from the love of Christ. Look at these things. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword. None of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. Well, you might have this question. How does Paul know that? How does the Apostle Paul know that none of these things can separate us from the love of God? Well, let me just tell you, because Paul had experienced every one of these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's talking about his own life. Listen to what he says. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Five times, Paul says, I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 40 lashes with a death sentence. 40 lashes minus one means you're beaten to within one lash of your life. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger in rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And Paul can say, in all these circumstances, nothing could separate me from the love of God. Amen. Here's how Paul expresses to us that nothing can separate us. Now, this is very interesting what he says. Here's the next verse. He quotes the Old Testament, and then he makes this statement. Here's how we know nothing can separate us. Look what he says. No, when I stop, you guys jump in. No, in all these things, we are more than through him who loves us. We're more than conquerors. He says, no, we're not separated from God's love by anything. Trouble, hardship, persecution, all these things don't separate us because we are more than conquerors. The Greek word Paul uses, listen to a description by a Bible scholar of this word. Here's what he says. It describes one who is super victorious. Hey, sit up straight. You're super victorious. Here we go. One who is super victorious, who wins more than an ordinary victory. One who is overpowered in achieving abundant victory. Go Bucks. It describes a lopsided victory in which the enemy or opponent is completely routed. That's it. You're not just a conqueror. You're not just victorious. You are more than a conqueror. So how does that happen? I want to give you some practical understanding of exactly what this means and how this can apply to your life. Because I know you're wondering, Tom, how do I become more than a conqueror? Here's the idea. I'm going to take the very first example Paul gave us, which is trouble. Trouble is the Greek word thipsis. Can you guys say thipsis? Now, we've talked about thipsis before. We talked about thipsis in Romans chapter 5. We talked about pressure. Thipsis means trouble, but really, the Greek word actually means pressure. It was the word they used when they were making wine. They put wine in the wine press, and they would twist that wine press down, and the wine press would apply thipsis. It would apply pressure, and that pressure would squeeze those grapes, and it's the same word for trouble. We feel pressure. Now, every person in this room knows what it is to feel pressure. You feel pressure in your family when there's family conflict. Your wife is upset. Your husband is upset. Your kids are upset. Your parents are upset. There's pressure that you feel. At work or at school, you feel that pressure of an overwhelming workload that affects you. Pressure affects your life. That trouble, that thipsis is pushing down on you, and you understand what that means. I'm going to give you an example of my life, of a time when I was feeling that pressure, that thipsis, and how I became more than a conqueror. The example here comes from January 2nd, 2012. My daughter Olivia, she was greatly desiring a little puppy. She really wanted a dog, and so I made her earn what I called 1,000 dog points. She had to read dog books and do hard work and all kinds of stuff. At the end, it was like, get me a drink, and that's 10 dog points. But anyway, not important. This is a picture of the puppy that she wanted to get, and so we made the contract, and the breeder for this dog was in Kentucky, about a five-hour trip down to get the dog and a five-hour trip back, a 10-hour trip to go get that dog. We left on January 2nd, 2012. Here's the headlines from the paper the next day in Kentucky. This is the Louisville Courier-Journal. This is talking about the day I was on the road. Listen to what it says. Wintry weather causes 41-car pileup in Kentucky. Let's continue. Winter weather is being cited as the cause of a massive, whenever the paper says massive, it's great, a massive 41-car pileup in Kentucky. The multi-car accident occupied on the southbound, those going south, lane of I-75 on Monday. Here's a picture from the website, and my car was just about right there. I remember the traffic stopped in front of us. It got snowy, really snowy. The traffic stopped ahead of us, and we stopped our car, and we were dead stopped on the highway, not moving at all. Tracy looked at me and patted my leg, and she said, "It's going to be okay." I got out of the car. I thought, you know, I got to find out what's going on. I got to see what's happening. I got out of the car, and I happened to see a Kentucky Highway Patrol person right there, and I stopped him because I was in charge, and I stopped him, and he stopped in his car. He was going real slow on the side, and I said, "Hey, sir, what's going on?" He said, "Well, there's a real bad accident right up ahead." I said, "Wow, was anybody hurt?" He said, "No, no fatalities." And I said, "Well, how long do you think we'll be here?" And he looked back at me, and he said, "About 4 hours. You're going to be on the road for about 4 hours. And I walked back, and I sat down in the car, and Tracy said, "What did he say?" I said, "He said we're going to be here 6 hours. Anyway, so here we are in the car, stopped dead still, a long trip ahead of us, a long trip back home, and we're feeling that pressure. Now, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Let me explain to you. More than a conqueror, there are three places that you might land when it comes to pressure or hardship or persecution. First of all, you might have this. You might not be more than a conqueror. You might be defeated. What's that mean? To be defeated means overwhelmed by the pressure. You feel the pressure. The pressure's pressing down on you, and you're defeated. The moment masters you. Listen, I think all of us here probably have been defeated by some moments in our life. You know what it's like. You throw a big fit, right? You throw a big fit. You yell at somebody. You get really upset. Maybe you lose it on the outside. Maybe you lose it on the inside. Maybe you do things you promised you wouldn't do. "I'm never drinking again." Well, after tonight, you know, you get defeated. You get overcome by the moment. Who would say here, just by way of explanation, you've been mastered by a moment in your life? Just raise your hand. Yeah? You've been defeated by the pressure. Absolutely. And that's one option for us. When we feel pressure, we can feel defeated. The second option is this. We can conquer the moment. You master the pressure. Here's the understanding. Through mental toughness or good time management or breathing exercises or something, you're in a pressure-packed situation and you remain calm and you carry on. Not because of Christ, not because of your faith, just because of how you face pressure. You do a good job. Now, conquering the moment is something that doesn't always last. It doesn't always persevere. But for a moment, you're able to overcome the pressure because of yourself. And then there's what Paul talks about, being more than a conqueror. Here it is. More than a conqueror. You experience God's love in the pressure. You invite him into your difficult moment, and with his love, the pressure is transformed into God's peace. Now think about this. Here's the idea. You're in a pressure-packed moment, a pressure-packed situation. You all know that feeling. And in that pressure-packed situation, you're not defeated by the pressure. You don't lose it and yell at somebody. And you're not just conquering because of your own mental toughness or your own ability to distract yourself. But you're more than a conqueror in that trouble, in that pressure, because you know the love of God. Because you invite the Holy Spirit into your difficult moment, and he transforms the pressure into God's peace. Who's had that moment before? Just raise your hand. You had that moment. You know what I'm talking about? That moment when your pressure is transformed to God's peace. That's being more than a conqueror. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Sitting there in traffic for 4 hours, sitting right there and not moving in the car whatsoever, I didn't become more than a conqueror. I basically, in that moment, I kind of conquered it by just sort of thinking, well, it's going to be okay. I know how long it's going to be. Played some Angry Birds, waited my time out, and then the car kept going. We went on down, we got that puppy, and we were able to, that's a picture of the vehicles that were in the accident, by the way. We took that with the cell phone camera. We got down to Kentucky and we got that puppy and things seemed fine. You know, we thought, no big deal, no problem. We got the little puppy and the puppy was so cute. And Olivia, my daughter, she loved him. And to be honest, we named him Cody, but we should have named him Clifford because he grew and grew and grew. He got huge, this dog. But really, we loved the dog and the dog was fine. He goes to the bathroom outside. He fetches things. He comes when you call him. He's so big that his wagging tail knocks drinks off the coffee table. That's a problem. But basically, you know, the dog was great. And my daughter Olivia, she loves this dog. I mean, she loves this dog so much, there could even be a love story, a movie of a love story made about Olivia and this dog. If we made that love story, the trailer might look something like this. It's okay to laugh. We named the movie Puppy Love. That's the name of the movie. Somebody told me last night, they're like, Tom, when you played that clip of the dog, I just cried. But you know what? Everything was fine. We got the dog. Things were great. We're heading back up, and we were going right through, right down these little Kentucky roads, and all of a sudden, the snow began to fall and fall and fall. I said, Tracy, take a picture. She took this picture right here, the snow covering the road. We got back on 75 coming north, and we hit traffic jam after traffic jam after traffic jam. Finally, we hit just about Cincinnati. We're about maybe an hour out of Cincinnati going north, and we came to a stop traffic, and we sat dead still. And we just went about an inch and stopped, and about an inch and stopped. We came across one of those signs that tells you how fast you're going. I said, Tracy, take a picture of that. There's the picture that my wife took right there. And we're not moving at all. We're stopped dead still in traffic. And we'd had this whole day of horrible things happen. Puppies peeing, kids crying, you know, horrible things happening. And I could feel inside of me this rage began to boil. I was ready to get out of the car and start kicking people's tires, and I was ready to lose it. I was ready just to go absolutely nuts, and all the pressure, all that trouble was affecting me. And so I didn't think of this verse, but what should have hit me in my mind was this idea from Romans chapter 8. No, trouble cannot stop you from being more than a conqueror. But here's what I did do. I just stopped everything. I could feel myself getting upset. I stopped everything. I closed my eyes, which you shouldn't do when driving, but if you're only going 1 mile an hour, it's okay. 0 miles an hour. I closed my eyes and I prayed. And I said, Lord Jesus Christ, I give you this day. For trouble or for success, whatever happens, I give you this day. I already prayed that once that day, but I gave it to him again. The peace of God flooded my heart in that car. We put on some worship music and all of a sudden we're worshiping God going 0 miles an hour. But it didn't matter. Because we conquered that moment. We were more than conquerors. We're praising. We're worshiping. Didn't matter. It suddenly became funny that we were not moving at all. More than conquerors. That can be you. You know that? You have trouble, right? You have hardship. You have persecution. You have difficulty in your life. And you can easily, through Jesus Christ, become more than a conqueror. That's the key here. The key is not the phrase, more than a conqueror. The key is this phrase, through him who loved us. Through him, this is the idea. The Greek word dia is the word through. It means, is a preposition denoting instrumentality, the means by which something is accomplished. Here's the idea. This sailboat is going because of the wind. Through the wind, the sailboat moves. That's how we become more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Here's the understanding. The instrument by which we overwhelmingly conquer is Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him. Now, I know you've got this. Here's an example. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. You guys say it with me. I can do all things through. Dia, same word. Him who gives me strength. We invite Christ into our moment, and through his power, we can do all things. Here's the idea. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I know some of you are thinking this, so I'm going to just answer this question. How do we do that, Pastor Tom? How do we live through Jesus Christ? How do we have this experience of overcoming and being more than a conqueror through him? I want to give you four quick ideas. Number one, you've got to have faith in God's word. God's word says that you're more than a conqueror. You've got to own that. You've got to say, I am more than a conqueror. Why don't you guys say it with me? 3, 2, 1. I am more than a conqueror. You've got to have faith in God's word. This is a possibility. I can conquer these situations. Number two is this idea. When you're feeling temptation, you're feeling pressure, you're feeling stress, you're feeling hardship or trouble, pause for prayer and refocusing. That's what I did in the car. I paused. I stopped. Stop everything for prayer and refocusing. Number three, invite the Holy Spirit into your present moment. Holy Spirit, I invite you to bring your peace. Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill me in this moment, in this time. Come and fill me. And then number four, last of all, make a declaration of God's truth. Now listen, today when the service ends, I'm going to give you a declaration to say. But I want you to think about, when I do this, I've got faith in God's word. I pause to pray. I invite the Holy Spirit to fill me. And then I declare God's truth from God's word. And you'll see powerful things happen. Let's get back to Romans chapter 8. Here's what Paul says. Next section. For I am convinced. Say convinced. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, or any power, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Here's the understanding. Number one, Paul says, I am convinced. John Stott, Bible scholar, he says this about what Paul says. Paul now reaches the climax of chapter 8 with, I am convinced. He deliberately uses the Greek perfect tense, meaning I have become and I remain entirely convinced. Paul could not more strongly express himself with any other phrase. Paul says, I am convinced. Listen, do you have that same conviction? Could you say that like Paul says that? I am convinced. I know it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm convinced. Here's what Paul does next in this section. Paul uses four pairs of opposites, a list of 10 total things, four opposites, to show us it's impossible to be separated from God's love. Here's the first one that he gives us. He says, neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God. Listen, in this room where we're sitting right now, I've been to funeral after funeral in this room. I've officiated funerals. I've attended funerals. We've seen people pass from this life to the next. And in those experiences, everyone who's there would easily know death doesn't separate us. When someone that you love dies, it doesn't separate you from God's love. If they're a Christian, it's a celebration of God's love. Listen, your death will not separate you from God's love if you're a Christian. Your death will unite you with Christ, and then you will be more than a conqueror as you reign with Christ in eternity. Amen. Death can't stop us. Death can't stop us from knowing God's love. How about life? No. Life doesn't stop us. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. These things don't stop us from knowing God's love, not death and not life. The next combination Paul uses is angels or demons. Believe me, both angels and demons are very active in our world. Angels supporting us, helping us, ministering to us, and demons stopping, opposing what we're doing. Paul also says, nor any power, which is an allusion to the powers of supernatural, angelic, or demonic beings. Angels or demons cannot stop us from knowing the love of God. Amen. How about number three? The present nor the future. Now, in Paul's day of writing this, they didn't talk about the past. They would say present and future. But in our culture, we would say past, present, and future. I want you to understand this. A lot of you in this room have made mistakes. You've done things in the past that you'd say, wow, the things I've done in the past, I'm ashamed of those things. I made mistakes. But nothing you've done in the past, no past mistake that you've made, no present fear that you have, nothing about the future that you're concerned about, worried about, none of those things can separate you from the love of God. Amen. Not the past, the present, or the future. How about number four? Neither height or depth. What does that mean exactly? William Barclay explains these terms to us. He says this. Paul speaks about height and depth. These are astrological terms. Height was the time when the star was at its zenith, its influence was strongest. Depth was the moment when a star was at its lowest point, waiting to rise and have an influence on world events. And so they would study the stars, looking for what star is at this height and what star is at the depth and how's it going to affect the world around us, he continues. The ancient world was haunted by the tyranny of reading the stars. They believed a man was born under a certain star and his destiny was decided. Imagine that. Imagine if your whole life you were overshadowed by what star you were born under, because that star was telling you the destiny for your life. The quote continues. Paul says to these haunted men and women, the stars cannot hurt you. In their rising and their falling, they are powerless to separate you from God's love. Now think about that. When you look at your life, probably very few of you here are watching the stars to see what your day's gonna be like or how your future's gonna work out. But many of you here may actually believe in your own destiny based on what's been said about you in the past. Maybe your parents said things about you that weren't very encouraging. Maybe you had an elementary school teacher or somebody in your past that just said things to you like, well, you're not really college material, or you're not really gonna make it in this world. Maybe those words that were said over you back in the past somehow are haunting you today. An example of this would be this statistic. 90% of prison inmates were told by their parents they'll be behind bars one day. How do you like that? 90% of prison inmates. NFL coach Bill Walsh says this: nothing is more effective than sincere, accurate praise, and nothing is more debilitating than constant, cutting criticism. Listen, what's been said about you in no way affects your future, because the height and depth of the stars and the height and depth of the words said about you cannot stop you from knowing the love of God. Nothing can separate you. Here's what Paul says. Listen carefully. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I knew for this sermon that I wanted to give you an illustration of this idea, a powerful illustration that nothing can separate us. I remember back some time in the past, I was listening to a sermon by Ravi Zacharias. How many of you guys know Ravi Zacharias? He's a theologian and an apologist and just an awesome Christian man. Ravi Zacharias started a ministry called Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Here's his tagline: helping the thinker believe and the believer think. I love that tagline. Ravi Zacharias tells a story about God's love and us never being separated from God's love. The story begins when Ravi was in Vietnam in 1971. Ravi was just in his young 20s preaching to U.S. troops in Vietnam during the war. He had a young Vietnamese translator. That's his picture right there. And the translator went with him wherever he went. The translator was right there. They rode on helicopters together. They went all across Vietnam. In 1971, Ravi left Vietnam and a translator stayed behind, a 17-year-old Christian young man. 17 years later, that young man called Ravi Zacharias, and he called him, and Ravi said, "What have you been doing in all these years?" And his story is amazing. I'll let you hear it from Ravi's perspective. This is Ravi Zacharias telling the story.
In 1971, I was in Vietnam. I was in my mid-20s, and my interpreter was a 17-year-old fellow by the name of Pham Hien, H-I-E-N. I hadn't seen him from 1971. Next time I spoke to him was 1988. 17 years later, he doubled up on his life by now. I said, "Hien, what happened to you over all these years?" He said, "Ravi, you'll never believe if I told you the details. Let me tell you in a nutshell. Because I was a Christian, because I was an interpreter for the missionaries, because I interpreted for the American troops, I was one day arrested immediately and put me into prison. And as I was behind prison bars, they gave me the writings of Marx and Engels, brainwashed me into disavowing God. For month after month, after 1.5 years of sheer mental torture, I said, all right, I'm not going to believe in God anymore. I'm going to disavow that this God actually exists." And he said, "And so what happened as I began to reflect upon those issues, try to think of all that was at stake, I said, all right, I'm not going to believe in God anymore. And I wake up tomorrow morning for the first time in my life, I'm not going to pray." And he didn't. That day, his commandant put him in care to clean up the latrines in the prison. He said, "It was horrible. The stench was awful, Ravi." He says, "I could barely stand it. And as I was cleaning those latrines in the prison, I looked at the waste paper basket." He said, "I saw pieces of paper with human excrement on it. And I was emptying it into a bag when suddenly with the corner of my eye, I had seen one of those was written in English. And I hadn't read English for so long now. I looked around, but nobody was watching, washed away all the dirt from it and slipped that piece of paper into my pocket. I went back to my room that night, waited for all my roommates to go to sleep, and hidden under the mosquito net with a flashlight, I looked on that piece of paper, and on the right-hand side it said, Romans chapter 8. And I started to read, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he goes on, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus justifies. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine? He began to read and read, and he says, the tears poured down my face. I got on my knees and said, Lord, you wouldn't even let me get out of your reach for 24 hours. Forgive me. Next day, I went to the commander and said, do you mind if I clean the latrines every day? He went in every day, and the commander had been given a New Testament by some missionaries a long time ago. He was using it for toilet paper every day in the latrine. He would go wash the paper, put it in his pocket, bring it back. He was collecting the whole of the Book of Romans here in a prison camp in Vietnam.
Isn't that an awesome story about God's love? Let me summarize this message for you. Here's the idea. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves you. Don't let pressure or hardship or demons or death or the present or the future or anything else in all creation separate you from knowing the love of God. You might be wondering, Tom, what was that thing that you said about being more than a conqueror? Here's what I said. Just a quick review. Have faith in God's word. How many have faith in God's word? Just raise your hand. Faith in God's word. Have faith in God's word. Pause for prayer and refocusing. I'm feeling pressure, hardship, temptation. I pause for prayer and refocusing. I invite the Holy Spirit into my present moment. Holy Spirit, come and fill me in this moment and make a declaration of God's truth. This morning, I want to give you a declaration of God's truth from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Here's the declaration. I'll read it to you first, then maybe you can declare it with me in just a moment. Here's the declaration. I will not be defeated. I will not let pressure or hardship or death or demons or the present or the future or anything else in all creation separate me from knowing the love of God. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. Now I want to invite you, if you would, if you feel comfortable, I'd invite you to make this declaration, to begin quietly, just quietly make this declaration. I'll start you off, and then you just kind of say it, maybe quietly in your own voice. Let's begin together. Here I go. I will, go ahead. Maybe some of you have enough faith to now say it full voice. Just full voice, say it straight out. Make this declaration full voice. Here we go. I'll start you off. I will not. Come on. Come on. Now, I'm wondering if we have anybody here who's bold enough to stand up and say it with authority. Anybody out there? Go ahead, stand up. If that's you, stand up. You ready? You can do this. Stand up. Go ahead, stand up. If you can say it, if you can believe it, if you can say it with authority, stand up and make this declaration. I'll start you off again. I will not be defeated. I will not let pressure or hardship or death or demons or the present or the future
or anything else in all creation separate me from knowing the love of God. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me.
Amen. 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 Now, some of you are thinking this. I wish I had that written down and I could take it with me. And I wish I had a cool Romans logo on the background. Hey, you got it right here. I got 200 of these cards ready to give out to you guys. Romans logo on the background, that declaration on the front. Here's what I want you to do. If you've got the faith and the boldness, come take it, put it in your pocket. In that moment you're feeling pressure or hardship or temptation, pull it out. Have faith. Pause and pray. Invite the Holy Spirit and then read this declaration out loud. And let God's power come and assist you in that moment. Bobby's going to come, and he's going to begin to play this final song. Just stay standing. I'm going to put a few of these out here on the altar, and if you want to come get one and just have a few moments to pray, maybe you want to come to the altar, and you want to, on your knees, make this declaration. Maybe you want to come to the altar and just confess that you've been operating as one who's been defeated, not as one who's more than a conqueror. But if you want to come pray and get one of these, come on up. If you're too shy to want to get one at the end, if you want to drop your cup, that's fine. Let's just pray. Father God, we are saying as a congregation that we will not be defeated. Father, we stand on your word that says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Father, we believe in you. We believe you have a purpose for our lives. We're standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his salvation, looking at the world and saying, we will not be defeated. Work your purpose in us because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Father, I pray blessing for every person here. Father, I pray for every person they leave filled by your Spirit, excited about what you're doing in their lives. Father, I praise you and I thank you. And we come now to worship the name of Jesus Christ together. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, just stay standing. We're going to sing this song. And if you want to come kneel and pray, take one of these cards, feel free. You can get one after as well if you'd like. But here we go.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
Let's sing that again.
Well, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You're my King. Die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. Well, I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love.
I'm going to pray and close out our service, but a couple things. First of all, there'll be a few members of our healing prayer team in the prayer room following the service. If you want healing prayer for anything going on, just go back to the prayer room right back there, and we'll be praying for you and expecting awesome things to happen through that prayer. Second of all, we need preschool workers. Don't forget about that. I'm hoping at least half of you sign up to work in the preschool. September 7th, we have our burrito bash. No kidding, free burritos. And last of all, if you're a first-time guest today, come get one of our awesome cups. The information center, Kathy, way back there. You can go back and get one of those cups. And we'd love to get some information about you. How many of you guys are blessed by being here today? Just raise a hand. Blessed by it. Absolutely. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the amazing truth that we find in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Father, I pray every person here who knows Christ walks out with their head held high, knowing their shame has been nailed to the cross, their guilt nailed to the cross, and they walk out of this room as more than a conqueror, not defeated, not a simple conquering in human strength. They are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves us. We praise you, God. We thank you. And again, we give all of our lives to your work and your purpose. In your name we pray and all say amen. Hey, God bless you guys. You're awesome. Check out our Spangles University classes back there as well on your way out. God bless you guys.